Hi, Russell Evans here. Welcome to Planet Shakers Podcast. Today I'm going to be speaking on the authority you have in Christ in prayer. You know, God doesn't want you to pray out of your emotion. He wants you to pray out of your position. So I trust this will change your life. It was a powerful service. Why don't you sit back and enjoy what's about to happen? I want to speak to you today on the topic, claiming your legal right. Claiming your legal right. See, sometimes where it comes to prayer, it's like, well, I'm just talking to God. Yes, it is talking to God. It is communicating with God, but it's more than just communicating with God. What prayer is understanding your legal right and going before God and presenting your case. Jesus was talking about the end times. He was talking about all the problems in Luke 17, and it says, and they asked Jesus when he was going to come back, and he said, when will this all happen, Lord? And the disciples asked, and Jesus replied, just as the gathering of vultures show there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate the end is near. The vultures on planet Earth right now, oh, there's so many problems, so many issues, so many things. There's vultures trying to take people's lives away, trying to take their destiny away. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life and life abundantly. I'm not worried about the vultures. I'm not worried about the darkness, because Jesus is light, and where he's light, everything must shift. So it was an environment, the atmosphere, there was death in the air. When Jesus is talking in this scripture, he's using this illustration. Then he goes into Luke 18. That's Luke 17 I was talking about. You know, in the Bible, when they wrote the Bible, they didn't write Luke chapter 1, verse 18. There was no delineation with chapters or verses. It was just script. And so, because we go into a new chapter, doesn't mean the story stops. It actually continues. And it goes on in Luke 18, it says, then he spoke a parable to them. This is after he's talking about the vultures. And he says, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Men, talking about people, always ought to pray and not lose heart. Another version says, grow faint. He says, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. So she was in a problem situation, and he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because his widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says, and shall God not avenge his own elect? Everyone say own elect. Who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them, listen to this, speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So here he's talking about, before he going into this parable, he's talking about the vultures. There's an atmosphere of death in the air. Then he says, men should not grow weary or should not faint in that, where it comes to prayer. Faint means to become weary, to become tired. It's the imagery of oxygen. He was using prayer like, prayer should be like to you, like you breathe. It's not something you do, it's something you are continually in. Isn't it amazing that the only time we think about breathing is when something is wrong with the oxygen levels? Sometimes Christians decide to pray when there's a problem with their oxygen spiritually. Here, Jesus is saying, men should always pray and not grow weary or not faint. How are we going? Let me say something about prayer, a few things about prayer. Prayer is an orientation, not just a position. It's who you are not where you go. Prayer is an atmosphere of operating. Prayer is a normal function, not a schedule. Just like you get up in the morning, you're breathing, you should be praying. It's not like, well, I've got to go to the 7 a.m. prayer meeting to pray. No, no. We're all breathing and we just come and breathe together to make our oxygen level stronger. So prayer, he's talking about prayer. And then he uses an illustration. He said this widow there, and that talks about a judge who was unrighteous, who doesn't care about God, what God thinks and what man thinks. And in the context of this scripture, they used to have these judges that would go from town to town, and those who had the fear of the Lord would judge with righteousness. Those who had the fear of man would be worried what man think. Well, this judge doesn't fear God nor man. So he was open to corruption. So people would come and bribe thee. That's why they were called unrighteous. They would be able to win them over to the case. Well, here is a widow who has nothing to get him to change his mind. He's unrighteous, he doesn't care about her, and he doesn't care about God. So he never's going to make a judgment in the light of what God says or what she thinks. We're going to go deep this morning. Now there was a widow in the city, the Bible says, and she came saying to him, "Get justice from me, from this adversary. When Jesus uses the picture of the woman, the context is this. This is the picture of he uses a woman. He doesn't use a man, he uses a woman. It's a parable, it's a story about something. And he's using the woman because in those days she was considered the lowest of the low. She was a woman who wasn't protected. No one was there to protect her because she was a widow. She had no one to stand in for her. She couldn't have legal representation because she had no means. She was considered poor and she had to plead her case, and she had been wronged legally. Everyone say legally. She needed legal intervention, and legal action was her only option because she needed legal protection. So here's this woman, lowest of the low, no one to stand in for her. She had no husband to defend her right. She had no means to get a breakthrough, and she had an unjust judge who didn't care about God and he didn't care about her. So what was her option? What was her option? Her option was to go and sit in the corner, and he's using this illustration like prayer. Go in the corner and go, "Woe is me. Things aren't fair, it's getting tough." Or she had an option, "I'm fighting for what legally is mine." And when we're talking legally here, we're talking spiritually legal. It's about prayer. And so the judge was unwilling, the Bible says, for a while he would not listen. But afterwards he said within himself, "Though I don't fear God nor man, yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, at least by her continual coming, she's wearing me," or wearing him out. The word "wearing him out" or "wearing me," he was there. So her wearing out, he has to respond. Wearing out in this scripture means to give a black eye to. Pretty awesome. Because a black eye means ruin my reputation. So here she is going, I'm legally positioned and you aren't responding to me, so I'm not going to give up on what you are doing until you legally shift, because you should. Because you're unrighteous and you don't love God and you don't fear man or don't love man, I don't care about that. My situation's bad, but my legal position is it should shift. And because she kept coming to him, she was ruining his reputation. He's using this picture. So why did the judge change? Because his reputation was on the line. He's an unjust judge who doesn't fear God or fear man, but he changes Because a woman understands her legal position and keeps pushing in until she has a breakthrough. So then Jesus flips it. I love this. See, her knowledge of the law made her persistent. Then the Bible says, then the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Elect, what does that mean? You're chosen, you're his children. So if an unjust, unfair, unrighteous, non-fearing judge changes because a woman understands her legal right and ruins his reputation and he changes his mind, then wouldn't a good, loving father who is a judge of the universe, who loves his children, so he uses this paradox. He said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? See, Jesus is contrasting the unrighteous judge with God in the environment of bad air and vultures coming. It's bad air and vultures are coming. What does she do? I'm going to bow to my environment. I'm going to bow to my situation, or I'm going to understand my legal position as a daughter elect of God, because my dad is good and he's good all the time, and won't he do way beyond what an unjust, unrighteous, non-fearing judge will do something, won't my daddy do something even more? Woo. See, just as the unjust, see the issue here, this whole thing is two issues, right? Well, there's a few issues. There's legality. Do you understand who you are in Christ? And secondly, it's about reputation. See, God's saying, this unjust person is worried about his reputation. Well, I am too. Because I'm about justice, because that's God's reputation. So if an unjust judge will worry about his reputation, I have a reputation too, to show who I am. How are you going there? God cares about... See, the widow was a stranger to the judge, the elect aren't to God. How much more will God look after his own children? God responds not to your emotions, but to your legal rights. See, sometimes we pray emotionally, God, give us a good day. No, God, I thank you today. This is the day you have made. I am your child and I have a right as your child to be blessed by you. So I thank you for your blessing. It is my legal right because I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I'm not going to come with your emotion. I'm going to come with position. God responds to your legal right as a child. God, listen to this. God is obligated, has obligated himself by what he said. He has tethered himself to his word. God will operate in concert with his word, but if you don't know his word, how are you going to pray for what his word gives you right for? So prayer is more than just talking to God. Prayer is understanding that you are a son and daughter of God and you can talk to him. There's nothing in the way, but you can come and say, hey, daddy, your word said. I remember with my children, I would say, they go, come out the back and have a kick of the football. And I'd be, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll come. No problem. In a minute. And I'm watching TV football. And it's going really good. And Amy and Jonathan would come and tag, when they were younger, they'd grab on my leg and they'd say, Dad, you said. What were they doing? They were doing their legal right to what I said. So I said, okay, I'm going to put down the TV, the remote control, and all the food that was attached to it, and I'm going to go out there and play with you because you're my children. Number one, it gives me great joy to do that. But number two, because I said it, I got to fulfill it. If God says it, he has to fulfill it because his word is tethered to him. So if you don't know your position, if you don't know his word, how are you going to pray what he says? We got so many Christians who don't know the word of God. So here's the lessons here, quick lessons. Number one, know your spiritual legal rights. God, oh, I need a healing. That's praying from emotion. And God loves emotion. God responds to emotion, but he responds to his word. The Bible says he sent his word to heal our disease. So God, I thank you. Your word says, by your stripes, I am healed. I thank you. I put a demand on you of who you are. And it's not an arrogant demand. It's actually a confident demand because I understand you are powerful. I understand you are awesome. I understand you are magnificent and I understand you are good. And so I come to you, not emotionally, although I have emotions attached, but I come in my legal position as your child and I have an inheritance that is ready for me. And so I'm going to claim it legally. What's the lesson? You can call with authority what you deserve from God. You can call it. In other words, every time you give in your tithes, it's not, well, I'm giving for a vision. Yes, you are, but that's is way beyond that. You're giving because you have legal right as a child to sow into the kingdom of God. So as I give, your word says, given it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So I'm actually coming and putting a demand on God to release blessing. The Bible says you'll rebuke the devourer and open the windows of heaven. I'm coming in my authority, not in my emotion. Because when you come in your authority, you're not dictated by your emotion. You're dictated by the authority that God has given you. It's not the authority you deserve or I deserve, but he said, I'm going to make a way to give you authority and my word shall not return to you void. It shall accomplish everything that I have wanted it to do. And so I come in the authority of God. So in the area of healing, God, I come in the authority as a son and a daughter of God. And it's my legal right to walk and be blessed and be favored by you. Ooh. You might say, well, I tried that, but you know, what about this or what about that? What about that? Well, obviously, I know everything, but I do know, I understand what the Bible says about prayer. And he's using an illustration of an unjust judge and a good God. And he says, if an unjust judge will do it, why won't I do it more? Next point. Call to God to respond to his word. If you don't know his word, what are you going to call? So many Christians don't know the word of God on basic living. Word of God. Forgive those who have sinned against you. Yeah, but God did it. Be kind. Be loving. Be gracious. Be strong. Be truthful. I tell people all the time on our staff, when we're talking to people, we don't give our opinion. We go, this is what the word says. You go discover it. But if they don't discover it and they operate on emotion, guess what will happen? Emotion will dictate to them and they won't have their breakthrough. But if I operate on my legal authority as a son and daughter of God, guess what happens? I put a demand on God to shift because he's the only one who can shift it. Are you ready for a big year? Are you ready for God to do super abundantly far over and above all you dare ask or think? Are you ready for God to answer, to do something speedily? There is time for waiting, but there's time for persistence where God does something. The Bible says, won't he do it speedily? If that's the right word, speedily. It's a hard word to say, speedily. I want to say speedingly, but it's speedily.
See, he must, listen to this, this is just blows my brain when I was studying this. He must respond because he responds to legality, not emotion. When we pray, we need to pray legal prayers. See, emotion, you think about this. You go into a court of law and you're emotional. You're like, you're crying, please, and you're crying, please. But if you have no substance to your emotion, there's going to be no judgment. Because the judge might feel sorry for you, but he has no legal authority to shift it because you're not coming in your legal authority. You're coming in your emotion, not your authority. I'm sure court houses all through Australia and the world have people with a lot of emotion. But what gets a judgment is what is legally allowed and legally supposed to happen. So I might have emotion, but I also need to understand who I am in Christ. And I understand, so I don't come just with my emotion, I come with my authority. And I might have some sadness, but I say, I put my sadness into your gladness. I put my, you give me the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. And so my authority is in praise. So when I praise you, it releases you to operate on my behalf. And so my discouragement must disappear in the light of the authority that I have when I praise. You. When I pray to you, I come in the authority as a son and daughter of God. So things will shift. I won't just come in my emotion and go, please, God, please. I got to come in authority and understand who we are and who he is. He cannot work against himself. That's why the Bible says, he who adds to the word of God is ready for judgment. Why? Because he says this thing, not the iPad, but the word of God that's in the app that I have there. The word of God is so powerful that anybody that corrupts it and messes it and changes it, what is he basically saying? They're dealing with my authority. And God's saying, I want to come on your behalf and move more than you want. If an unjust judge who doesn't fear God or fear man shifts because he's worried about his reputation, God's not worried about his reputation. He just wants to show what his reputation is. And Jesus using this illustration. So the point of the story is this, have determination in who you are. Have an understanding of who he is and put a demand, not an arrogant demand, but a demand as my children come outside and play. They're not like, Dad, you legally said that you would go outside. We signed a contract. No. They just understood my word meant something. The problem is we live in an environment, in a world that people's words don't mean something. So when it comes to believing God, we don't really believe because other people's words have let us down. But when you understand his word does not change, he is a God that does not lie. He is a God that says yes and amen. He is a God that says he'll back up his word. He says, my word is my contract. It's a contract with you to show you what I will do. It's not just a group of stories and nice parables and philosophies. It's a contract and it's a covenant and it's something that I paid for with my son and with his blood so that you and I could stand in the authority, not in what we have done, but in what he has done, and we have access. But you got to understand your legal kingdom rights. So what do you need right now from God? Woo! I'm telling you, there's an anointing in this room right now. Whatever you need. That's why coming. See, if you stay at home, watch TV and see all the lead up to Federer. Guess where you're going to have a tennis game. But you come to the house of God and people, iron sharpens iron, and you have the word of God and come into agreement with the word of God. All of a sudden, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why privately and personally, you need to be in the word of God. The word of God
I love this. Someone was asking Sam one time, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm walking in darkness. And the Bible says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So sometimes it's a light that goes ahead of you and you can see where you're going. But sometimes it's just a lamp for one step. Sometimes it's, other times it's, His word. See, we need to let His word define who we are. Not our situations, not our environments, not our emotions, not our friends, not our society. God is, His word is all authority and all power, and it has power to shift things if we come into agreement with it. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven.
I hope you enjoyed the message today. We at Planet Shakers are all about your encountering God. And through that encounter, you literally bring heaven to earth. You're an ambassador of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Why don't you connect with us? You can connect with us on email, on online. You can go on to any of our social media, from YouTube to Twitter to Facebook to Instagram. Whatever platform there is, we want to connect with you. Tell us your story. And we pray that God blesses you abundantly, far over and above all you dare ask. God bless you. See you next week.